So we're discussing this Shastiyam Sarana, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's highly realized commentary on the Shikshastakam by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sixth verse. Nayanam Galardashtadariya Varanam Gadgaravriya Gira Pulakar Nichitambhu Kada Tavanama Grahane Bhavishyati. The key word in this verse, the key word for sadhakas, of course, is kada. The verse itself is describing the experience of the Bhava Bhakti, the Jatarati sadhak, that sadhak who has awakened his bhav. Vaidhi sadhana, raganuga sadhana, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. This is the different levels of progress and pure devotion. So for those at the level of bhava bhakti, then they have these experiences. In the beginning, there are eight different sattvic bhavas which manifest in the body due to the arising of loving feelings in the heart upon contacting the beloved. In this case, the beloved is Bhagavan, Krishna, Damodar. And then that love or that ecstatic vibration from the heart moves through the body and causes the body to produce different transformations. The eyes may swell with tears, the voice may choke, the hair may stand on end or trembling. This is the initial stage of the eight sentences of Bhava. So these are being described here. Nayanam garud ashudarya. When my eyes, ashudarya, will they be holding so many tears? Ashu, bhavashru. So that's one level. But then when Lord Chaitanya uses the word kada, kada means when. So then this prayer, although describing a level of bhava for the bhava bhaktas, when he says kada, that describes us, that those that are not at the level of bhava, that are hankering for such experiences in chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name means associating with Krishna. When will I associate with Krishna in such an intimate way? When will I perceive Krishna in such a confidential way that he enters deeply, through his holy name, through the vibration of the holy name, he enters deep into my heart, and he moves my heart and softens my heart in such a way that I experience these thrilling touches of bhav. Because this is the mysticism, the mystical experience of spiritual practices. So the idea is that God is mystifying, and it's all about experience. Experience means ras, taste, pleasure, contact, something happening. It's not just empty philosophy. Krishna is guaranteeing that in the beginning, the preliminary book of bhakti philosophy or bhakti gyan is Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna says pratyaksha vagamandaram yam sushukam kartamavyam. Rajavidya Rajaguyam. This is in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Paramambhavam. Was it? Pratyaksham Bhagavam Dharmyam Susukam Kartavamyam. So he's saying this is a secret. This is a Rajavidya. Rajaguyam. Guyam. This is a very popular word in Bhagavad Gita. Guyam. Sarvaguyatamam. Guyatara. Guya, Guyatara, Guyatamam, Sarvaguyatamam. Secret, more secret, most secret. So it's a Raj, it's a king. We have Raj Yoga. The royal path of yoga is called Raj Yoga, which is another name for Ashtanga Yoga. Yama Niyama, Asan, and then Pranayama, and then Dharana, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyan, Juvana, Smriti, and Samadhi. The Eightfold Path, Raj, the royal path. Raj Yoga means the royal path. But that's the royal path to nowhere, ultimately. Because the real royal path is the path of bhakti, because the path of bhakti is the path of love. And royalty without love is meaningless. Well, the greatest kings of the world will give up the royalty for love. Cleopatra and Julius Caesar, he was the path of royalty, but the path of love was higher. Sacrificed everything for love. So the royal path of Raja Yoga, I said, is the royal path to hell. It goes nowhere, royal path to nowhere. Because you may be a royal yogi, but if you have no love, you'll come back again. Because the Ananda feature is denied. Sachit Ananda. The Ananda feature is Larani, divine bliss, love, ecstasy. That is only found when one experiences bhakti. So in the bhakti marg, or bhakti path, there is so much mysticism. And this is my experience. So, pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam. This dharma, this is called prem dharma. Garanga came to teach prem dharma. Divine love, ecstasy, rasam, flavor, taste. Are you there? Are you there? Oh, I'm there. I'm really there. Are you feeling something? Yeah, I feel my teeth feel really funny. Something about my teeth, when I bite my teeth, I feel like they're, and my fingers, and something about everything looks, the colors and something moving, and are you feeling something? Oh yeah, I'm really there. And you can try to figure out where there is, where there art thou. So this is experience, the metaphysical experience. So Krishna's telling Gita, yes, Arjuna, yes, Bhakta Joe. You will have, this is pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam, this dharma, this prem dharma that I'm giving, this bhakti prem, this divine love, bhakti, it is pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam, pratyaksha. It is, pratyaksha means manifest, seen, perceived, felt, tasted, relished in the deepest recesses of your heart. And in the nerve endings of your brain, they will be tantalized. They will be excited. Your skin will ripple. Your voice will choke. Your hair will dance. Your mouth will salivate. And your eyes will roll in tears. This is all promised. And then you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He let it all hang out. He showed everything. The most divine expressions of ecstasy and mysticism any saint has ever displayed. Even the greatest sahajiyas could never imitate the divine ecstatic, truly divine ecstatic expressions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is described here that Lord Chaitanya is saying, when? And we're also, because this is us, he's praying for us. Shikshastrima is for us. He's saying, listen, we're also crying out. We're crying out. And ajata rati sadakas. Our rati also means bhav. Our bhav, our love, our feelings of divine love have not awakened yet. So we're asking a question. Many questions we've answered. We know we have these basic questions of analysis. If we want to analyze anything or understand anything, then we can break it up into compartments and try to answer these different questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how? Is the idea is that this is these questions, posing these questions, these five W's and one H, which is basically six questions, posing these six questions when approaching something new and trying to resolve and answer these six questions in relation to that new idea or concept, person, object, place, will give us a very deep conviction, understanding of it. So in terms of Krishna, in terms of mystic experience, in terms of bhava, let's take these questions one by one. Let's take who. Who do we want to love? Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayos. Aradhya Bhagavan Srinath Chakravarti. There's some people say different things, but generally the totality of Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, say that Advaitacharya's disciple, Srinath Chakravarti Thakur, wrote this verse. But some modern acharyas, they say Vishwanath Chakravarti. It was also a Chakravarti, but it was Srinath. Must say, anyway, the verse is the important thing. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayos. Aradhya, Aradhya Dev. Aradhya means Radhanam. We've heard of Radha. Hamaradanha Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha. Ahamaradanha Radha, 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 Radha. Premadana Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha. Kartiki Devi Radha, Rani Ki Jai. So, Radhanam, Sarveshu Vishnu Maradhanam Tam. So, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayos. So he is speaking, this is the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This is the Mati, this is the conception of Lord Chaitanya. And we are Chaitanya's Bhaktas, Gauranga Bhaktas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Our Aradhya Dev is Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Vrindavan, Brajesha Tanayu. Tanayu means the body. He's the son of the king of Braj, the controller of Braj, Brajisha, Brajesha Tanayur. Nanda Baba's son is Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Nandalal. Govinda me rohe, Gopala me rohe, right? Nandalala me rohe, right? Nandulala Merohe. Nandulal, my Nandulal. So that Nandulal is our Ishtadev. Nandulal. The son of Nanda Baba. The Lala. The Lala. Lala and Larli. Lalali. This cute little boy and this cute little girl, that they are being worshipped in Varsana. So who we want to love, who we want, kada, Lord Chaitanya is saying in the sixth verse of Shikshastakam, when I fall in love with this Brajendra Nanda, Nandalal, when will my eyes well with tears, my voice choke up, and my hair stand on end? This is the Shikshastakam. I'm chanting Nam, and I'm chanting Aparad Nam, and someday I'll chant Namabhas, and then Shudanam. And when this Shudanam, this chaya, this shadow, even the shadow of Shudanam will bring something of this bhav. When will that happen? So when I remember my Nandalal and these experiences of bhava will come? So Lord Chaitanya is praying on our behalf. So we've answered one question: who? Who do we want to worship? Exclusive devotion to Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan. Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, these are Ishtadev, Ishtadevata, Ishta, filled with the tendency of controller, Ishta, or Ishtadev, that Lord that rules our lives, that Lord that controls our heart, are Ishta, Ishtadevata, or Ishtadevi, Ishtadevi Radha, Ishtadeviti Sham, Gauri Sham, Kishore Kishori, Giridhari Lal. So, who, then what? What do we want? We want Ramya Kachirupasana Brajabadubir. Ramya Kachirupasana. Yoga Upasana. Upasana. Worship. Upasan. Upasan. To sit nearby. Asana. Asan. Everyone knows asan. The Shing Asan. The Shing Asan. The asan. Where's the asan? Vyas Asan. To sit in the asan. Upasanam. Upa means nearby. In proximity. It doesn't mean you sit on the head of the guru. That's not recommended, but it means that your heart mixes with his heart. This is upasanam. Upasanam means your heart moves near his heart. This means upasanam. So there's they say Ramya Kachit Upasana Braja Badubira Sakalpita. Srinath Chakravarti is telling us what we want, who we want Brajendra Nandan Krishna, Radha Krishna Yugal, Radha Govinda Yugal. This is who. What we want. We want prema. We want the prema seva. Ramya Kachit Upasana. The worship performed by the Vrajabhadu. The Vrajabhadu means the young married brides of Vrindavan. The gopikas of Vrindavan. Vraja gopikas. We want to worship. Upasana means to worship. We want to mix our hearts with their hearts and to worship Krishna in the same way that the gopis worship Krishna. This is Ramya. Ramya means very delightful, very charming and pleasing worship. Most sweet. And most innocent and most tender and attractive worship. This is what the gopis do. And then, Radhi Bhagavad Vrajeshwatani, Sridham Vrindavanam. So, and where? So this is what? We want to engage in the prem seva Radha Govinda. Well, that's who and that's what. What is our aim and ambition? It is not mukti, it is prem, love, bhakti, prema pumarta mahan. We want to attain pure love for Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So where? Where do we know who and we know what. We know who we want and we know what we want. Well, where do we want that? Sridham Vrindavan. So it's Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshatanyo Sridham Vrindavanam. This is the verse. So where we want to go is Vrindavan, Brajagokul, Nandagram, Barsana, Radhakund, Govardhan, I love Vrindavan. I have my t-shirt, see? See the back of my t-shirt? I love Vrindavan. Dwadasavan Vrindavan. Charasi Coast Vrindavan. Well, do you love... Okay, you love women. Okay, that's understood. You're a man. You love women. Well, do you love all the women? Yeah, I love them all. Acha. Well, that's a little difficult. Do you love one woman a little bit more specially? Oh, well, technically, I love my wife. I have my wife. Technically, I'm supposed to love her more specifically. And sometimes I do, and maybe I actually do in rare cases. So out of all, we love one. So when we say, oh, I love Vrindavan, I have my t-shirt, I love Vrindavan. But is there any place in Vrindavan you love more, where your heart vibrates more? Like I know some devotees in Bombay, they're always thinking of Terakadamba. I have some friends in Bombay, they're always thinking Terakadamba. whenever they go to Vrindavan, they always see Radha Shyamasundara, they always see Banki Bihari, and they always, no matter how much time they have, they must go to Tarakadamba, even for a minute, even for 5 minutes. They go to Tarakadamba, they roll in the dust by the Kadamba tree, and they chant mala there, and they pray and do whatever their bhajan takes them. So that's important to them, because they're stuck in Vrindavan because of their duties and their work over there, and time is not permitting them to do their bhajan all the time in Tarakadam. But their hearts are there. So Rupa Goswami says, and at least Jiva comments, that if you can't do Mathura Mandala Vasanam, if you can't live in Mathura, which is one of the Panchanga Bhakti, to always live in Mathura and do bhajan, if you can't live there physically and mentally, if you can't live there physically and mentally, live in Vrindavan in your body and in your mind, then you should live wherever you're destined to live, outside of Vrindavan. But your mind should be in Vrindavan. More Vrindavan Manahabe. My mind is always in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was moving all over India. But everywhere, wherever he went in India, he was only thinking one thing. Wherever Lord Chaitanya wandered, he wandered all over South India, everywhere, South India, West India, everywhere in India, Lord Chaitanya is wandering. But he was always remembering. His mind was always in Vrindavan, and his words were always calling out, and his voice was always calling out to Brajendra Nandan. Everywhere Mahaprabhu is wandering, his mind is thinking, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Every river was Yamuna. Every grove of trees was a Nikunj. Every forest was Dwarasavan. And everywhere Lord Chaitanya was simply uttering and crying out, weeping, Krishna, 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 hey. So everywhere Krishna, everywhere Vrindavan. This was the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's so far from Vrindavan, thousand kilometers away from Vrindavan, and Cape Comorin, Kanyakumari, all over the place, Trivandrum. But his body, his transcendental form, appeared to be so far, far, far away from Vrindavan Dham, Sri Dham Vrindavan. But his heart was completely absorbed in Sevakunj and Nidiban and Rasastali. And his voice was, and his heart was always crying out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this is the example. Of course, it's a high, high example to wander the streets of New York City crying out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They may take you to Bethesda or some hospital over there. Not Bethesda, some shrink place, you know, crazy house. Psychiatric hospital. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And everywhere, every time you see a skyscraper, you think, oh, there's a Kadamba tree and there's a Tamal tree. every skyscraper is a Nikunja. The subways are the caves of Govardhan. The underground, you go under these subways in London. I don't know what you call them. They call them underground or something? New York, they call it subway, and I think in England, they call them underground. Underground? In London? You go to the underground because it's underground. And then you think, we're in the caves of Govardhan, and it's so beautiful here, and Radha Krishna. This is Brajabhav to the extreme. Of course, if you had that type of bhava, I don't think you could exist very long in London. You could not. Your bhava would fly you to Vrindavan. You would just break into a bank and steal a bunch of money, and just run to Vrindavan. The force of your bhava would transcend all rules and regulations, and somehow or other get you to Vrindavan. So we know who, and we know what, and we know where. And we know why. Why are we worshiping Krishna? Why are we? And then, like this, and then the question this verse is addressing is when? When will we be in Vrindavan? When will we be in Tarakadamba? When will we enter Radhakund and worship our Ishtadev, Brajendra Nandan Krishna, in prema, with Prem Seva, with pure love? So this is being told here. So this verse, of course, is describing the experience of those when they see Krishna at the level of bhav, because there's something that triggers the bhav. Love is a silent resident of the heart. A quiet resident of the heart is the quality of love. And love sleeps until the time is right. When the time is right, then love awakens and expresses itself through the senses, through the mind, and with the object of love. So this is called sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava means sleeping. Sthayi means standing, resting, positioned. Sthayi, stan. So when the gopis in Vrindavan, they have what is called gopi bhav. Intense love is sleeping and residing permanently in their heart. Stahibhav is sometimes translated as permanent devotional mellow. This is Prabhupada's translation. In other words, it's a very difficult term to translate. That which is standing in the heart and never moves from the heart, that which occupies the heart as the controller of the heart, as the dominator of the heart, is the Stahibhav. Standing over the heart like a powerful lord or powerful master. So the gopis' hearts are in Madhur Rati. Their Stahibhav is Madhur, Madhurya Ras, Madhur Rati. Intense attachment to the Lord and conjugal love, Parakiya Bhav, Gopi Bhav. There, Gopi Bhav means Parakiya Bhav, the paramour love, of the most sweetest and intimate and unpredictable type of love that exists, is the love between Krishna and the Braja Gopis. So this love is sleeping there and residing there always. And then there are certain sights or sounds or smells that they perceive in the environment which trigger or awaken that love, and then different experiences they have consequently. So this verse that was being described here from Venugita, chapter 21, verse 15, describes what the gopis, when they see Krishna going out with the cows, Barhapitam, and they see Krishna with his beautiful peacock feather and his turban and his smile and his yellow dhoti. As soon as they see that object, I mean that person, Krishna, then that awakens their love, their sthayibhav. Then their voices choke up, tears fall from their eyes, and their hair stands on end. Nayanam galat ashradarya varanam gadgara vridayagira. This verse is describing the gopis. Because these verses are spoken by Radharani. Radharani is describing the gopis. And in this verse, she's describing Purvarag. Purvarag means that you are in the spiritual world and you haven't met Krishna yet in Boma Vrindavan. And all this bhava, all this intense love and prema is in the heart. And then when one sees Krishna, then it all rushes to it just floods the senses become flooded by this intense love. And then the senses respond. The ears break out with tears, the voice chokes up, the hair stands on end. So the gopis are seeing Krishna through the eyes of love. You can see through the eyes of love, you can see through the eyes of envy, you can see through the eyes of hate. You can see through the eyes of greed. So the gopis are seeing Krishna through the eyes of love. So we are hearing, over several days, the Vishwanath Chakravarti's descriptions of how the gopis are feeling when they're seeing this beautiful form of Krishna. So now, another part of the verse, Randran Venor Adara Sudayapurayan. When Sri Krishna covers the holes of the vena with his fingers, he puts it to his tender bud-like lips that defeat the beauty of ripe bimba fruits. This bud means there's two things. There's flower bud and there's leaf bud. Before, if you live in nature, live in the country, you watch, there's a leaf. Before a leaf opens up on a branch or a twig of a tree, it's closed, it's curled, it's folded closed, and it's called a leaf bud. And then it unfolds. And even if it's a green leaf of a tree like neem tree or other kadamba or whatever, when a leaf is closed at a certain stage of its development, the leaf is green, but the tip of the leaf is actually, it's a little red. It's a little bit red. It's kind of a dark red color and it's very soft. And then there's something called a flower bud, the bud of a flower, like you've seen lotus bud, it's closed. Usually if it's a pink lotus, the tip is a little darker color. The tip means here. This is the tip, right? This is the bud. Then it opens up and the tip. So when we say leaf bud like lips, Krishna's lips are very soft, like the tips of a leaf bud, and they're very reddish color. So this is the analogy the poets always use. His bud like lips that defeat the beauty of ripe bimba fruits. So his lips are very soft, and he doesn't use any lipstick or chapstick or any kind of windscreen and all these things we have to use. But and then this bimba fruit is is something like the color of a pomegranate, a very rich red color. So then with these beautiful lips, he's blowing the flute. He's blowing air into his flute. Then a sweet sound comes from the holes of the flute, infatuates the entire world, and enchants all moving and non-moving beings. This lifeless bamboo flute, the Venu, becomes alive and starts stirring the hearts of the gopis, and it stimulates their transcendental lust or calm within them, which means their intense desire to please Krishna. It's called Divya, Divya Kam. There's Kam and Divya Kam. Kam, K-long-A-M, Kam, means lust. Lust means intense desire to enjoy I am lusty, I have intense desires to enjoy my senses. This is the general understanding of lust. But the gopis, their desire, they have intense desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna. This is called Divya, Divya Kam, transcendental lust. So it should not be confused with our mundane material lust. When the gopis see that the flute, the Venu, is enjoying the wealth of Krishna's lips, the nectar, Adara Sudha, which is their property, they believe that the nectar of Krishna's lips belongs to them, that Krishna's lips should kiss their lips, but now he's chumbitam, Krishna's chumbitam, he's kissing the flute. Because to play the flute, you have to kiss the flute. And what is this? This Venu, this dry, lifeless piece of dry bamboo is drinking the Adasudha, or what is Adar? Adar Sudha, Radharas Sudha Nidhi, the Sudha, the nectar of Krishna's lips. This is not fair. We're alive. We're three-dimensional. We have so much rasa and bhav, and every cell was vibrating to please Krishna and waiting to offer to Krishna and satisfy him. And then we are denied that privilege. What is going on here? This lifeless Venu is drinking all that nectar which is meant for us. This Venu is a thief. Someone should lock up this flute, put this flute in jail. So they're saying that, and then they're saying, and not only that, that this flute is kissing Krishna right in front of us. Just like if you have a girlfriend or something, and then she comes in front of you with another boyfriend, says, "See, look, my boyfriend." How much your heart will burn. You'll burn in envy and anger. At least go some private place and do what you have to do. So they're what is this? This shameless flute right in front of us. At least go behind the tree or something. Go to Vamshivad or something, where we can't see you. So then they're saying, and then to top it off, they're saying, and they say, even though the flute is male, the sanchari bhav called jealousy, irsha, rises in their hearts. So this is the point, that there's three different flutes of Krishna. Krishna has three flutes, Venu, Bamshi, and Murali. The Murali is female, feminine. This word is feminine gender. And Vamshi is feminine. But feminine or masculine, I'm not sure. But Venu, this word Venu is masculine. It is male gender. So the gopis are playing on words here. They say, what is this? They say, this flute is drinking all the, it's kissing Krishna's lips and drinking all the nectar of his lips, which is our wealth. This is our nidhi. This is our prem nidhi. This is our treasure. And not only that, but right in front of us, besides that, the flute is male. And drinking, of course, nowadays we think, oh, what's wrong with that? I mean, because everything's so perverted that men and women and women and men and men and, you know, everything's pretty crazy. At least 5,000 years ago, such abominations of relationships were not extant. So, but this is, it's, of course, this is all rasa. This is alankar, Sanskrit alankar, that the gopis are just making some fun joke here. That this flute, first of all, the flute is dead. We're alive, the flute is dead. We're full of rasa. The flute is dry bamboo. We're full of rasa and taste and nectar. And secondly, and then lastly, it's not even female. At least we're, males are supposed to kiss females. At least in those days, that's how it worked. Males only kiss females. And this male, Krishna, is kissing this other male, this Venu. This is ridiculous. Because when one becomes so maddened by this love, this is divyonmad. Unmad means madness, intoxication. Love makes one mad. And everyone, we have experience of our own type of madness. People become mad here in this material world. They become crazy due to love. Have you ever heard of love crimes? What do they call love crimes or something? Love crimes that someone's in love with someone and then they find out their lover was cheating on them. Of course, they sing all these songs. So there's so many crimes due to love. They just become so jealous, become so envious. So here, because of intense madness of divine love, the gopis are becoming envious of a piece of wood. I mean, can you imagine, if you saw a piece of wood lying on the ground, would you break out in intense envy? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but this is madness. This is real madness. Well, sometimes they kill the flute. They get Krishna's flute and Lalita breaks it over her knee and throws it in the Yamuna and says, damn, hell with this flute, let it go to Mathura. This is ruining our chastity and ruining our dharma, and this flute has ruined our lives. But unfortunately, within a few minutes, one of the Palinda women steps out of the forest and says, Krishna, I made another flute for you. and they give Krishna a new flute. Because the Palinda women, these are like the jungle women or Adivasis, they're very expert in making flutes and collecting musk or kasturi and saffron and all these beautiful, wonderful things. So Krishna has an unlimited supply of flutes. So this is the Randran Venor Adara Sudha Yapurayan. That Sudha Purayan, that Pura, Purnam, Om Purnamidam Purnamidam, that complete experience, the complete experience of the nectar of Krishna's lips. It belongs to us. It belongs to the gopikas of Vrindavan. Because they are the embodiments of Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papevyo Mokshesham Imasuchaha. They are the embodiments of absolute and complete surrender and complete dedication. So therefore, they have the right. They have the access. They have the adhikara. So this is being told here that the gopis are appreciating so much because of their bhav. In this way, Shamsundar plays on his Venu as he enters the most pleasant forest of Vrindavan. The moment a stream of the flute's sweet nectar enters the ears of the Braja Ramanis, who are endowed with Mahabhav, an amazing condition arises in their heart. They become restless with a strong desire to meet with Krishna. And although they try to conceal this mood, they are unsuccessful. A sadhaka, that means us, a practitioner, a sadhaka who aims to attain the gopi's love for Krishna will gradually develop bhava madhurya, or sweet feelings of love, by performing sadhana under the guidance of his spiritual master. When a stage of bhava rises, so this describes the experience at the level of bhava bhakti. When the stage of bhava rises, Sri Krishna's form manifests within the heart. At this stage, a devotee's mood is similar to that of a gopi. Gopi's bhav, something, a reflection of that gopi's bhav enters the heart of the devotee, the practicing devotee. The devotee understands himself in his siddha sarup, because at bhava one becomes clear what one is, spiritual identity becomes clear at the level of bhava. The devotee understands himself to be a young girl, a kishori, braja kishori, and he becomes absorbed and rendering service under the guidance of the nitya siddha gopis. So this, of course, is the experience at an advanced level, that we actually identify, as we say, you cannot desire something that you've never heard about. Think about it. Can you want to have something you have never heard about? Can you desire something you've never heard about? It's impossible. It's a common sense idea. So to desire Gopi Bhav or the Braja Bhav or the mood of the gopis, well, okay, oh, I want to, I desire it. Oh, what is it? What is Gopi Bhav? What is that feeling of a gopi? What Gopi Bhav? What is a gopi? First of all, let's take it one by one. What is a gopi? And what is Bhav? And then what is Gopi Bhav? And why Gopi Bhav? And where Gopi Bhav? And how Gopi Bhav? So these questions went. So that's the whole idea of Shravana Dasha, of hearing. That which is often prohibited is really the medicine we require. Like all the time we're walking around in a disease condition, and someone says, you need this medicine. And then someone else says, no, don't take this medicine. And that very medicine that you're being denied is the one we require to cure the disease that we have. So Prabhupada, he's given us this idea of hearing about Vrindavan in the beginning of ISKCON. Prabhupada wanted us to hear about Vrindavan every single day without fail. Never a day should pass in the life of a member of ISKCON, or let's say a Gaudiya Vaishnava, when they don't hear about Vrindavan. And Vrindavan means the topmost devotees, let's say, although there's the coward boys and the Mother Yashoda. But to hear about Vrindavan means especially to hear about the gopis' love, because the gopis' love, when you read about Vrindavan, mostly you hear about the love of the gopis, because their love shows the epitome of love. The highest perfectional expression of divine love is exhibited in the life and activities and the words and speaking of the gopis of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada wanted us every day. A day shouldn't pass when we don't hear about Vrindavan and remember Vrindavan more and more and more. So that is an injunction, that is a vidhi nisheda, that is a rule, a regulation that Prabhupada instituted that should begin with day one of bhakta, the proverbial bhakta joe. The day one of the new bhakta, naya bhakta, he should hear the Krishna book, take his proverbial also, because you can't find such a thing in India, but take his hot cow's milk, if you're so fortunate to have these animals called cows. If you happen to live in the land of Dharma, you can't find one. If you live in Vrindavan in India, which is the land of Dharma, you can't find any cows. But if you live in the cow slaughtering countries of the world, you can find lots of cows because they eat them. So there's lots of cows. But at any rate, Prabhupada wanted us to take some hot cow's milk at night, Mahaprasad milk, and honor some Thakurji's Nirmalya Prasad, Mahaprasad, and to hear about Vrindavan, Braja Leela Katha. We hear all these fancy terms thrown around nowadays. Braja Leela Katha, Rasa Katha, all these things, Hari Katha. Well, Prabhupada tried to keep it simple. It's called the KISS principle. The KISS principle of business. Do you know the KISS principle? We know the KISS principle. We know what KISS means, Chumbitam. So the KISS principle is keep it simple, stupid. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Of course, again, it only doesn't translate into Russian. But this is an English funny thing. So the idea is the Prabhupada kept it very simple. He didn't say, all right, listen, everyone, I want you to hear Leela Katha, Hari Katha. He said, every night read Krishna book. And what's Krishna book? Leela Katha, Hari Katha, Rasa Katha, Rasa Leela Katha. And you should hear this Rasa Leela Katha from a Rasika Vaishnava. We hear nowadays, we become educated and we read these books. Oh, you must hear Rasa Leela Katha from a Rasika Vaishnava. Otherwise, you cannot attain the throne of Braja Prema Bhakti and your Siddha Sarup and relish the Anubhavs and Staivavs of Madhurati. I said, wow, that's a lot of far-out terminology. That's a lot, you're really doing a lot of Sanskrit mudslinging or whatever. Slinging Sanskrit there, Swamiji. So Prabhupada didn't want to confuse us. I mean, he knows all these terms, no doubt. And when you read his early articles that he wrote in India, in Hindi and Bengali, it's full of these terms. There's a book that has never been translated into English, which is one of the only books that was in Bengali for the Bengali Vaishnavas. It's called Vairagya Vidya. And it's still to this day, it's not in English. And Prabhupada wrote it in Bengali. And then it's, all the Bengali devotees read it. Gauranga Prem Swami stayed here last night with some brahmacharis. And he's one of the oldest and leading disciples of Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. And he was telling me about this book. And so Prabhupada was quite well aware of and an expert in using all these type of terms. But Prabhupada just said, read the Krishna book every night and hear about Krishna. So when you read the Krishna book and hear about Vrindavan Leela, then we'll be hearing the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Reading the purports of Srila Prabhupada means hearing from the lips of a Rasika Vaishnava. So all these fancy terms, Prabhupada said, just read the Krishna book, take some Mahaprasad and go to sleep remembering Krishna. So this is our daily food, our daily medicine. And this medicine is actually Prabhupada's idea was to bring us to the point of Gopi Bhav from day one. Because Gopi Bhav is something you build. Love is something that you build. You don't just, we say fall in love. Well, you fall in love, okay, you fall down, you fall in love, but then you have to get back up. You fall in love, which means, you know, wherever you fall, but then you pick yourself up, then you have to start building something out of that love. Initially you fall, then you build something. You build upon a loving relationship. You fall in love with some man or woman, and then if it's really love, then you work at it, and you build it and develop it, and maybe stay together for life, at least hopefully or ideally, in the material sense. So this day one of Krishna ISKCON, or Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna Bhakti, was he wanted us to fall in love with Krishna and develop Gopi Bhav, Raja Bhav. Prabhupada came from Vrindavan, he didn't come from Bombay. He said, oh, you think, they would ask Prabhupada in New York in 65, they say, Prabhupada, do you miss Vrindavan? You're sitting here in 2nd Avenue in New York City, and there's snow on the ground everywhere. When Prabhupada first came, when he was in Butler, Pennsylvania, when he was in New York, and because he was in Butler in the fall and it wasn't snowing. And then he came to New York. The first winter, Prabhupada was in New York in 1965. And then he saw the first snowfall when he woke up. It was snowing all at night when he was sleeping. He woke up and he looked out the window. Oh, my God. Because he heard that America was so efficient. They had so much machinery. And they were so organized. He said, oh, last night, the city of New York went around while I was sleeping. And they whitewashed every building in New York City. Whitewash means you get this lime powder, this limestone powder, and you mix it with water and makes like a homemade white paint. And then he looked out, this is America, they have so much money, they can whitewash the sidewalks. They painted the sidewalks white, and they even painted the streets, and the streets are white. Oh, they painted everybody's car white also. All the cars are painted white, and all the street signs. Boy, they really have a lot of white paint over here in New York City. I know America is very wealthy. They're really extravagant. So then they Prabhupada said, oh, did they whitewash the city last night in his innocence? And Prabhupada said, no. They said, that's snow. It was a blizzard last night, and it covered New York City, as the weathermen say, with a blanket of snow. Like a blanket. You put a blanket on your bed, so this is the term they use. The New York City was blanketed in a snow cover. So Prabhupada, they said to Prabhupada, you're sitting in this New York City apartment? And Prabhupada says, you think I'm sitting in a New York City apartment, but actually I'm in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada, such devotees as Prabhupada, they're always in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada wanted us to always be in Vrindavan and cultivate this Braja Bhav, Gopi Bhav. So this is our sadhana, this is our wealth, this is our param gati. So this Gopi Bhav grows, love grows. It should have been growing from the first day we joined ISKCON. Gopi Bhav should have been growing. We fell in love with Krishna. Somehow we got some attraction. Oh, that was the prasadam, it was the deity, it was the kirtan, it was the philosophy. It was none of that. It was just this really nice devotee I met. And I really liked this devotee, and he was like my friend and my guide, and he was my everything. I didn't know much about the philosophy. I didn't really like prasadam. I was a fruitarian, and deities looked like idols, and the kirtan sounded like mumbo-jumbo. And the Sanskrit sounded like, you know, weird Indian cantation. Whoa, 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 whoa. Like some kind of Indian powwow. But I like this one devotee. I just like Jayananda. And we used to paint together and work together, and somehow I just liked with him, and I fell in love with his person, and he was such a nice person, and he would give me food. And pretty soon I knew I got initiated, and then I started understanding all these other things. So this is how devotees, they talk about their life story. Somehow or other, we become attracted either to Krishna or his devotees. So from that first day of attraction, the beginning of Krishna Bhakti, we should be developing our Gopi Bhav. So after 10 or 20 years, we're becoming very, very deep and absorbed in all these moods and meditations on gopis. This is the sadhana. Then we actually feel, oh, we're chanting the Shikshastakam every day. Nayanam gada dashidariya varanam gadgara rudaya gira. And we're thinking, Krishna, chanting, dry. Chanting. Why? Chanting. Cry. I'm chanting, my eyes are dry. I'm chanting and my throat is dry. It's not choking up. I'm chanting and my skin is dry. There's no hair standing on end. Why? Kada. Why? Is it me? Krishna, is it your holy name? Or Krishna, is it you? Are you playing games with me? What is happening? So this is a type of crying. For the Ajatarati Sadaka, he's crying, why and when will this happen? The word kada means when. Will it happen today? Krishna, okay, now I'm picking up my beads. I touch the beads to my forehead, these sacred beads, which will give me everything I require. And I offer my introductory prayers to Goswamis, six Goswamis and Guru Varg, and to Radha Krishna Yugal, to the Maha Mantra. Then I offer my obeisances. And then I begin the chanting. And Krishna, today I'm going to chant your name. Will something come? Will you give me something? Will some one drop from the ocean of Bhav, from the Ambudi, from that great Anandambudi Vardhanam, from that ever-increasing unlimited ocean of bliss of which the holy name has arisen. The holy name has arisen from this unlimited, ever-increasing ocean of bliss. Will one drop from one spray of one wave come in my heart today when I'm chanting the holy name? Krishna, please bless me with a drop of your mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Shyam. Every day is another chance. Someday that day will come and Krishna will take us to the land of romance. Every day is another chance. Hare Krishna. This devotee, Prabhuji, is saying that Prabhupada he's encouraging us, and he instituted yearly pilgrimage to India, which includes Vrindavan. But then at the same time, we have the preaching mission, which is in the mood of bringing everyone to Krishna to engage in his pleasurable rasa dance, sankirtan. So what to do? Should we all just move to Vrindavan and close all the temples and stop all the preaching? I think the answer is pretty much, that's why we're under anugatya. We have some authority over our head. We have some shiksha guru, some diksha guru. And everybody's progress is individual. And everybody's relationship with Krishna is individual. And everybody has individual guidance coming from Krishna's representative, diksha and shiksha guru. So everyone has appetite. Everyone has appetite and adhikar and anugatya. Appetite, adhikar, and anugatya. Everyone has a particular appetite. Some are Goshtinandi oriented, some are Bhajanandi oriented. Everyone has adhikar, different qualification or eligibility. Everyone should be anugatya, underneath the control or guidance of a superior Vaishnava, either Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru, Bhajan Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru or both. And in their consultation with their own inner examination, we will adjust our Bhajan and our Bhajan Stali accordingly. And then that place which is given to us by our beloved Gurudev, or well-wishers, is called Prabhu Datta Desh. Prabhu Datta Desh. Desh, or place given by my Prabhu, my Guru Maharaj Prabhu, my Shiksha Guru Prabhu. Datta means given. Guru Pradesh, that place, that Desh, that will be the place of our perfection. If we are positioned somewhere under the guidance and order of Guru, we will attain Vrindavan there. We will have darshan of Krishna there. Krishna will come there. Because Krishna can be seen in the order of the Guru. Sri Guru Charane Rati Ese Uttamagati. Uttamagati means Krishna Darshan. Uttamagati means Prem Prapti, acquiring Prem. So Prem Prapti, Prem comes at the from the lotus feet of Guru, Sri Guru Charana Rati, to have Bhav and Rati for Guru. So if Guru places us in Adelaide to distribute books or meant in a temple, or New Govardhan to run a farm, or wherever you may be stationed, you will see Krishna there in the trees of New Govardhan, and hear the flute in the forest of New Govardhan, or you will find Krishna in the hearts of the living entities when you're distributing books in the Melbourne airport. You will have this experience by the mercy of Sri Guru. Only by the mercy of Sri Guru can we enter Vrindavan. So it says Vishrambena Gurur Seva. The fourth principle of Guru, the fourth principle of Krishna Bhakti, Guru Parashraya, Guru Parashraya, then Diksha Adi Shikshanam is the second and third principle. And the fourth principle is Vishrambena Gurur Seva, that we should serve the spiritual master with Vishramba, without formality. V means without Shramba, formality, which means with intimacy, with friendship, with cordiality. So we should have a very tight bond with the spiritual master so that he is keeping our heart peaceful. We are close to the Guru, and we're at peace with the Guru, and we're at peace with our Prabhudatta Desh. I'm happy to be here. And I remember one point in my life, I was in Los Angeles distributing books in such a hellish place in Los Angeles airport. I mean, every airport is hell, really. I mean, I grew up in the country, you know, near the ocean, so I had the best of the country and the ocean, and then I joined L.A., it was like hell to begin with. And then go to L.A. airport, it was like 24 hells in one. And then, but somehow that was our savior to sell Bhagavatams in the airport. And I remember, a feeling came over me by the mercy of Prabhupada. I remember standing in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish, a young man, a new devotee, and I was just offering my own mental prayer. I was saying, Rukmini Dwarkadish, if Prabhupada wants me to distribute these books in this hellish place, I'm ready to stay here forever. I'm ready to surrender and stay here forever and distribute these books if that's what you want and that's what they want, provided I can come every day and see your sweet smiling face and your beautiful form and dress and taste your nice mahaprasadam, then I'll stay here forever. I actually had this feeling that I'm ready to die here in this place. This mood was within me. So I accepted that this is my Prabhupada Desh. And somehow everything was adjusted one by one, and after so long, long time, I ended up wherever I am. So I think I always have the faith that if we have a close relationship with Sri Guru, then he will adjust everything perfectly for our perfection. But if our heart is feeling some disturbance, then we should confide in Guru and say, my heart is crying, O Guruji, my heart is crying for Vrindavan. I can't sleep at night. I'm always reading about the gopis. I'm reading Stavavali and Stavamala and all these wonderful books about Vrindavan. And Guruji, please. And I've met many devotees. That have read all these wonderful books about Vrindavan and Braj Bhav and Gopi Bhav, and some, you know, swamis, they write all these books about Vrindavan. And if you read all these books about Vrindavan, you go crazy. Because I made a lot of people crazy, actually. Because we produced about 17 books about Vrindavan and translations, and many devotees have read them and gone crazy, and they've come to string me up. They say, we read your books and gone crazy. But they would read these books, which are the Acharya's books, most of them, all of them, Rupa, you know, Vishwanath, etc. And then and they were really genuine, and they would go to their spiritual masters, and they were big-time book distributors and other distributors, and their spiritual masters would say, they would go year after year, they'd say, Guruji, I want to move to Vrindavan, I want to go to Vrindavan. And he would say, no, no, no. And they were starting to give up. They would come to Brindadevi, please, Brindadevi, please, can I move to Vrindavan and do bhajan? And they would pray to their Radha Gopinath. Then they would go to ask some devotee, do you think I should ask Guruji again? Yes, ask again. Then they would meet with Guruji. Guruji, can I move to Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram, do 24-hour kirtan and puja, this, that? Yes. Visa granted. Entry visa. No return. Go to Vrindavan. I've met many devotees. Yes, you have the appetite, you have the adhikar, and your anugatya. And they've given a permission to move to Vrindavan and do their bhajan. So if we're sincere about Vrindavan bhajan, but as you mentioned, it's also wonderful and great to live outside and give Vrindavan to others. They're both the same, but you have to follow the relish and the growth of your heart. And that will all be monitored and sanctioned by Guru. Sri Guru will monitor our growth and sanction our growth. And when it's genuine, when it's true, when it's real, he'll sanction it and give permission to enter Brajadham. Without the mercy of Guru and the resonance of Vrindavan, we can never attain the eternal service of Radha and Krishna, and we can never force our way into Vrindavan. It's not like storming the Bastille. Storming the Bastille in the Middle Ages, there was some fortress called the Bastille, and they got a big log, and boom! You've seen these medieval movies. You get a big log and go to the front gate, boom, 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 and everyone's inside the palace. Oh, king, the gate's about to break, and the enemy party is going to attack and rape all the women and pilfer us and kill us. Oh, what to do? And the king says, I don't know, pray to Ganesh. Oh, Ganapati, help us, help us. So it's not that we can storm the gates of heaven. We can't break into Vrindavan, but we just pack our bags and say, Gurudev, forget it. I'm not destroying books. I'm fed up. I don't need you anymore. I'm just running to Vrindavan. It won't work. It never worked before, and it'll never work in the future. We must have visa from Guru, not plane ticket. We need transcendental visa to enter Vrindavan. So this is given by Guru, Guru Kripa Hikevalam.